In the University of California system, officials are considering raising fees as much as 16% a year through 2015. To hear more about what this might mean for students and for public education in California, I spoke with UC's student liaison to the Regents. Jonathan Stein is a graduate student in public policy and law at UC Berkeley, and he's one of two students represented in the university's decision-making body. To start off, I asked him how we got where we are now.
People make the point a lot that the state has put us in this position, and to a very significant extent, they're correct. I mean, the budget crisis that the UC is in today is not just the product of a short-term economic recession that's affecting the state budget. It's actually the product of a long-term divestment from the state of California, exacerbated by a short-term economic recession. I mean, if you look at some of the numbers, and if these are too dry or too wonky, let me know. But in 1985, right, so 2.5 decades ago, corrections and the UC in the state of California were both about 6% of the budget. And today, corrections are about 12%, so they've doubled, and the UC is about 3%, so it's been cut in half. And in real terms, what that means is that 2 decades ago, the state of California was the number one contributor to the UC system, and today they're behind student fees. And so you can make a very real argument the state has put the UC system in a position where it needs to privatize. And so the Regents are put in this very difficult position where they have to make choices in a difficult financial environment. And they're saying, okay, we refuse to compromise on the quality of the university. We refuse to increase the student-to-faculty ratio. We refuse to increase the number of tenure-track faculty. We don't want to cut staff or services. And in the absence of state funding, how are we supposed to pay for all of that? And their answer time and again is student fees.
And trying to raise more money through corporate donations, et cetera, right?
Right, except that the most rosy estimates of how much we can raise through corporate fundraising is somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million a year, which is not necessarily a drop in the budget in the bucket in terms of the UC budget, but it's not much more than a handful of drops in the bucket. And so student fees at this point have really become the primary way that the UC finances itself and fills its budget holes.
Yeah, but right now this is another fee hike is being proposed right now, and I believe that Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, formerly San Francisco mayor, is saying, no, let's not do a tuition hike. Let's look for other ways to continue along this privatization line.
Yeah. So at the last Regents meeting, for example, the UCOP, which is the University of California Office of the President, the administrators in charge of running the system, came to the Regents with a proposal that the Regents were only supposed to consider in September and will vote on down the line, in which fees went up anywhere from 0 to 16%, and the difference and the actual amount would be made up would be determined by the amount the state put in. So if the state gives us 8%, student fees go up by 8%. If the state gives us 0%, student fees go up by 16%. And immediately students said, this is not UCOP was terming it an 8-8 plan. And students said, no, this is a 16-0 plan. Let's be honest. The state government is not going to be in a position to increase our funding in any substantial way anytime in the future. And so this we see as a recipe for increasing fees 16% every year for a number of years. And that would take student fees, I have the numbers in front of me, from the current 13,000, which is a dramatic increase from just a couple years ago,
right,
to just 4 years down the line from now, $22,000 a student. And you could make a very, very serious argument. In fact, I think it's inescapable that the UC will have completely lost its role as a leader in access and affordability nationwide in public higher education.
Well, and that's a big issue in terms of access, in terms of the 1960 Master Plan for Education in California. What do you think these rising costs mean to this public education system?
It means that the doors to public higher ed in California will begin to close on the middle class. The low-income students get a reasonable amount of aid when you combine Pell Grants, Cal Grants, and then university aid. We do a relatively good job in the UC system, actually, of giving gift aid to students from really low-income families. And students, obviously, from high-income families can continue to afford the UC because it's still much cheaper than private schools. But the students who are going to be priced out of the UC if we continue on this path are students from middle-income families. And a middle-income family, you know, we're not talking about a family making $60,000. We're talking about a family in which one parent is a teacher and the other parent you know, is a landscaper or is a fireman or something, both parents can be making $60,000, $70,000. And you're talking about a family that together makes over $100,000. And yet it still is incredibly difficult to send a student to school when that costs $15,000, let's say, every year. Plus, you have to add on, of course, the cost of living in a city like Berkeley or Los Angeles or San Diego, where the cost of living is high. And so the total cost of going to a UC for a year can be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And if you're a middle-income family, even if you're making over $100,000, education access is becoming increasingly difficult.
We're speaking with Jonathan Stein. He's one of two student regents on the UC Board of Regents. Jonathan, you don't get voting power until next year. Is it frustrating for you to be at these meetings and not have voting power?
It can be, yeah. More frustrating, I think, is the fact that students only have one vote total. Students now put in more money to the UC system than the state of California. And yet, on the entire Board of Regents, there is one voting student member. Meanwhile, there are five or six ex officio members of the Board of Regents. That is the governor, the lieutenant governor, the superintendent of schools, and other elected officials. And then I believe 16 members appointed for 12-year terms by the board by the governor of California. And so the vast majority of the board has some connection to state government.
And you have said that this position is probably more important than ever before in history. How are you talking across these lines of the regents and communicating to students about what's happening?
Well, at times it's really difficult because you have to maintain your credibility in the eyes of two very different groups. So you have to sometimes do what's in the best interest of the university. And the regents will only take you seriously if you do that. At the same time, you are nothing in this position unless the students back you up on things. You simply have no power as one voice to go to the Board of Regents and to the chancellors and to the administration, all of the centers of power within the UC system, and say, I personally believe we ought to do this differently. No one's going to listen to you if that's the case. You have to have a coalition of students behind you who are pushing for the same thing. And in order to have that coalition behind you, students have to know that you're a credible advocate for them.
That's Jonathan Stein. He's a student representative on the UC Board of Regents. We've been discussing rising costs at UC, and I asked Jonathan how he would solve the system's problems.
I think the state of California simply needs more revenues. I mean, the UC system received this year just over $2 billion from the state of California, and that's in a budget of $80 billion. So it really looks like the state of California has deprioritized the UC system, and I argue that it has. But we have... There are two ways that we can tackle that problem. One is reprioritizing the UC, which I am a fervent advocate of. At the same time, we simply need to grow the pot of money with which state government can make choices and can invest in public priorities. You know, if you take out all of the entitlement spending in the California state budget, you take out K through 14, which is K through 12 plus the community colleges, and that's 40% of the general fund as required by Prop 98. You take out servicing the debt and other mandatory expenses. And all you're left with in the California General Fund really is criminal justice, health and human services, and higher ed. And so every time I go to legislators and I lobby on behalf of more money for the UC system, they're saying, well, okay, do you want me to take money away from single moms who need programs to provide health care for their kids, or provide free lunches for low-income students? Or do you want me to cut services to the disabled or to the elderly? And my answer, of course, is no, it isn't. I would never advocate for those things. What we really need to do is find a way to put this state on some sort of a long-term, sustainable funding model and a system of public finance that actually allows us to invest in public priorities the way that California used to do when it was a nationwide leader in policy, big, bold policy experiments. And today, we have a broken state government that can't fund anything.
So, John, you know, you have a seat at the table of these very important meetings. What does it look like? What is that meeting like?
You've got a group of people who don't tend to get to campus a lot, don't spend a lot of time with students, and are a long ways away from the time in their life where paying $13,000 for a year of school was a real pinch on their pocketbooks. And so the student region is responsible not just for saying, hey, students support the DREAM Act and students support an oil severance tax, but more than that, on a deeper level, just articulating for folks who don't run into students a lot how difficult it is to pay for an education in today's California.
Is it hard for you to juggle school with that? responsibility.
Yeah, but I mean, it is at times. But that's okay because I see school really as a vehicle for involving myself in things that I'm passionate about. And oftentimes those things are more outside the classroom than they are in. And I should say that I'm certainly not the only one doing this. The student movement at the UC level and at the CSU level and the CC level involves student leaders in a variety of different capacities, all playing their role and all making sacrifices in order to do so. It's sort of funny that you have to sacrifice a little piece of your education to fight for education.
but, ironic.
But it's worth it.
And how has being a regent and having this seat at the table and having this responsibility changed the way that you see politics in California, the way that you see yourself? How has it changed you?
Well, the hope is that it hasn't changed me very much at all, because the student regent is the one student position where you're suddenly invited to receptions and cocktail hours, and you're invited to dinners that you wouldn't otherwise be invited to. And the hope is that all of the glitz and the glamour doesn't blunt the energy with which you pursue the student position on things. It's difficult to say in the middle of a conversation between three or four other people, you know, Vice Chancellor, I really think it's important that we talk about the implementation of the consultation and input policy for graduate professional degree fees. it's sort of gauche to be pushing your agenda in a setting like that. And yet settings like those are sometimes the only times you have to make your points. And so you have to sort of be the fly in the ointment at times.
And you started to say, my view is that.
Oh, my view of state government, it hasn't really changed, because I thought it was broken before I took this job, and I think it's broken now. One thing that has changed in this role, though, is my perspective of state legislators. I did a lot of lobbying and advocacy on behalf of students before I got this job, and I went on a number of lobby visits with legislators and legislative staff, and all of them say, to a last man and woman, all of them say, we're advocates for higher education, we're champions for higher education, we believe in higher education, we want to UC, our children go to UCs, blah, 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 blah. And then they turn around and pass a budget that cuts the UC system $650 million, as is the case in this last budget cycle. And it took me some time in this job to realize that we were getting snowed a little bit, that it was just a really, really effective sales job, and that all those people who thought they were – who told me that they were advocates for the UC system, who then would vote for increased pay for prison guards and then cut the UC by hundreds of millions of dollars had fooled me a little bit, and I'm not fooled anymore.
Well, so let me ask you this. What is different about California's system? What's at stake here?
The UC system, 40%, fully 40% of students in the UC system receive Pell Grants. You compare that to privates, USC, 16%, MIT, 15%, Harvard, 7%. I mean, when people say that we're in danger of limiting the quality of this institution if we make further cuts, my response is, yes, we are. And that's unfortunate. At the same time, we're also on the verge of compromising access and affordability. And while we're in a really impressive university, because of our Nobel Prizes and because of the amazing research we do, we're a really unique university because of the community of students we educate, because of this unique population from diverse and varied backgrounds from all over the socioeconomic spectrum. And to compromise that, in my mind, would be just as much of a tragedy as compromising our research excellence, our Nobel Prizes, or what have you.